Chart and graph skills. Read a vertical timeline. 1. Why learn this skill? As you know, a timeline shows events that happened over a certain period of time. Most timelines run horizontally or across the page from left to right. Other timelines, however, are vertical. A vertical timeline lists events from top to bottom. 2. Understand the process. Look at the vertical timeline on this page. The earliest date on a vertical timeline is at the top. The latest date is at the bottom. Timelines can show different periods of time. This timeline shows 100 years, from 1800 to 1900. A period of 100 years is called a century. You can say that this timeline shows the 1800s, the years from 1800 to 1899. A century can be divided into 10 decades. A decade is a period of 10 years. The years from 1830 to 1839, for example, are a decade that you can call the 1830s. Now, use the timeline to answer the following questions about Santa Fe's history. 1. In what year was Santa Fe's first newspaper published? 2. How many years after the start of the Mexican-American War did New Mexico become a U.S. territory? 3. Which could you have done first in Santa Fe, ride in a stagecoach or ride on a train? 3. Think and apply. Make a vertical timeline that shows one century of your state's history. Mark the decades on your timeline and then list the important events that happened during those years. Use encyclopedias, library books, and the internet to find events and their dates. Lesson 3. Focus. How can population growth change a region? Main idea. As you read this lesson, look for reasons that cities in the Southwest have grown so fast. Vocabulary. Dredge. Aerospace. A changing region. The Southwest is known as a land of wide open spaces. Some ranches there are so large that a person can ride horseback in one direction all day and not leave the ranch. Yet, the Southwest is fast becoming a region of large cities. It is part of the Sun Belt. Its mild climate and rich natural resources have attracted many new people and industries. Many cities in the region have grown very quickly. In fact, 4 of the 10 largest cities in the United States are in the Southwest. They are Houston, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, San Antonio, Texas, and Dallas, Texas. A Gulf Coast city. Houston is one of the fastest growing cities in the Southwest. Its population has roughly doubled in the past 20 years. Today, Houston is the largest city in the Southwest and the 4th largest city in the United States. Trade has played an important part in the city's growth. Houston lies on the coastal plain, about 50 miles, 80 kilometers, from the Gulf of Mexico. It was built on a shallow waterway called Buffalo Bayou. During the 1800s, only small boats could sail up the Buffalo Bayou to Houston, so city leaders decided to dredge it. To dredge is to dig out the bottom and sides to make a waterway deeper and wider. When the work was finished in 1914, the part of the bayou that linked Houston to Galveston Bay and the Gulf of Mexico was named the Houston Ship Channel. As the writer Will Rogers once said about this difficult project, Houston is the only city that dared to dig a ditch to the sea. The Houston Ship Channel helped make Houston a busy port. Today, only the port of South Louisiana on the Mississippi River handles more cargo than Houston. Trains and trucks carry goods to and from the many ships that dock in Houston each year. Oil played a very important part in Houston's growth, too. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, huge amounts of oil were discovered in the Southwest. Thousands of people went there hoping to make money in the oil boom. Houston and other towns in Texas, such as Galveston and Dallas, grew quickly. So did Oklahoma City and Tulsa, two cities in the neighboring state of Oklahoma. Large ships called oil tankers used the Houston Ship Channel to carry petroleum products to and from the many refineries built in Houston. Today, Houston is the largest center for refining oil in the United States. Houston is also a leader in the production of petrochemicals. The city has other important industries, too. The Lyndon B. Johnson Space Center has made Houston a leading center for the aerospace industry. The aerospace industry builds and tests equipment for air and space travel. Workers at the center oversee all space shuttles during flight, Astronauts also train there. Review. What two things played an important part in Houston's growth? Growth in the desert. In 1867, a group of people settled in the Sonoran Desert near the Salt River. They used water from the Salt River to irrigate their fields. 3 years later, the settlers built a new town, which they named Phoenix. Like Houston and many other cities in the Southwest, Phoenix is growing quickly. In 1950, Phoenix was ranked 99th in size among cities in the United States. By 1996, it ranked 7th. More than half the people in Arizona live in or near Phoenix. Before Phoenix could grow, however, it needed water. Huge pipes and canals were built to carry water to the city. Irrigation has turned the nearby desert into valuable farmland. Having a supply of water has also brought new industries to the city. As a result, Phoenix has become an important trading center in the Southwest. The city's climate has been important to its growth, too. Phoenix usually has more than 300 days of sunshine a year. The summers are very hot, but air conditioning has made living there much easier. The winter months are warm and pleasant. This pleasant climate has done much to attract workers, businesses, retired people, and tourists. So much growth coming so quickly has caused problems for Phoenix, however. Schools and highways are crowded. Growth has also caused major air pollution problems. A yellow-brown cloud now hangs over Phoenix on many winter mornings. One of the biggest challenges Phoenix faces is supplying enough water for all its people. Water has always been scarce in the Southwest. Some people worry that there may not be enough water to meet the needs of this growing region. Review. What problems has rapid growth caused in Phoenix? Lesson 3 review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. Why did many people move to the Southwest in the late 1800s and early 1900s? 2. Recall the main idea. Why have many cities in the Southwest grown so fast? Think critically. 3. Cause and effect. How did the Houston Ship Channel affect Houston's growth? 4. Link to you. What are some things that have helped the community in which you live grow? Show what you know. Writing activity. Write a short story about the growth of either Phoenix, Arizona, or Houston, Texas. Tell how water has affected that city's growth. Then, compare your story with those of other classmates. Reading and research skills. Tell primary from secondary sources. 1. Why learn this skill? Some of the best sources of information about the past are primary sources. A primary source gives the real words and views of people who were there when an event took place. Their words may be found in letters, journals, or diaries, or in records of interviews. Their drawings or photographs may show people, places, or events as they saw them. Sometimes the only way to learn about the past is from a secondary source. A secondary source gives information written at a later time by someone who was not there to see what happened. Secondary sources include newspaper stories, magazine articles, and encyclopedias written after an event took place. 2. Understand the process. Words like I, we, my, or our are often found in primary sources. Primary sources often include people's opinions and feelings. A secondary source may give more facts about a happening, such as names and dates. There can be problems with each kind of source. A primary source might give just one person's view. The writer of a secondary source might not understand what really happened, since he or she was not there at the time. In both kinds of sources, the writer might state his or her own opinion as a fact. Both of the paragraphs that follow are about early canals near Phoenix. The first paragraph is from a diary written by Sadie Martin. She lived on a ranch near Phoenix in the late 1800s. The second paragraph is from a book written after the canals were built. Read the two paragraphs and answer the questions. Now that father and mother were home, I went with the boys to camp and we were gone for 2 or 3 weeks. They were all so anxious to get the water turned on in the canal so we could get things started to growing on the ranch. Everything depended on the success of the canal. Some of the first irrigation was in the Salt River Valley. The men simply pooled their labor, work, to build small dams and dig canals that generally followed the old Indian canals, especially on the south bank. The men who did the work then shared the water. 1. Which paragraph gives more facts? Which paragraph gives an opinion? 2. Which of the paragraphs is a secondary source and which is a primary source? How do you know? 3. Think and apply. Find 3 examples of primary sources in your textbook. Explain how you were able to tell that each one is a primary source. Lesson 4. Focus. How can a natural resource cause people both to work together and to disagree? Main idea. Read to find out how the Rio Grande has caused the United States and Mexico both to work together and to disagree. Vocabulary. Arid. Conflict. Compromise. Runoff. Sharing a river. Water is scarce in many places in the fast-growing Southwest, including the Rio Grande Valley. The people who live along the Rio Grande depend on the river for their water, so they often work together to protect the river. At other times, however, they may not agree on the best ways to use the river. Meeting water needs. The Rio Grande was named by early Spanish explorers. Rio Grande is Spanish for large river. The people of Mexico call the river Rio Bravo, or Bold River. Near its mouth, the Rio Grande flows through the warm, moist coastal plain. Upstream, however, the river cuts through mesas and high plateaus. Much of that land is arid, or dry. People there depend on the Rio Grande's water for drinking and for farming and industry. To the people who live in the upper Rio Grande Valley, getting enough water has always been a problem. One person there wrote, "So seldom is there water, never is there enough water." Yet when there are heavy winter snows in the mountains and gentle summer rains, water does its magic. There will be corn, wheat, apples, apricots, and alfalfa. The horses will be sleek, and in the fall, fat lambs and calves will go to market, and the drying strings of chili will make masses of scarlet against the warm brown walls of the adobe farmhouses. It is when the water runs out and harvests are poor that conflict sometimes begins. A conflict is a disagreement between two or more people or groups. Farmers in the Rio Grande Valley use the river's water to irrigate their fields. When farmers in Colorado use water for their fields, less water reaches New Mexico. In New Mexico, farmers also use the water. So much water is used in Colorado and New Mexico that people farther downstream in El Paso, Texas, sometimes see a dry riverbed. People downstream often blame people upstream for using too much water. To make sure there is more water downstream, the national government has built dams across the Rio Grande. Water stored behind those dams can be used for irrigation and by people and industries. During dry times, some of the water can be released into the river. The water used upstream affects many people in Mexico, too. At Ciudad Juarez, across the river from El Paso, Mexican farmers also irrigate their land. To protect Mexico's use of the river, the United States has agreed that a certain amount of water must reach Mexico. To help solve their water problems, the United States and Mexico have worked together to build other dams on the Rio Grande. For example, the two countries built Falcon Reservoir about 50 miles, 80 kilometers, downstream from Laredo, Texas. Water from this reservoir is used to irrigate citrus groves and vegetable and cotton fields on both sides of the river. Review. How have the United States and Mexico worked together to solve their water problems? Border conflicts. The Rio Grande forms a natural border between the United States and Mexico, but rivers sometimes change course. That happened to the Rio Grande in the 1860s. After some small floods, the river's channel moved south. Land that had been a part of Mexico was now to the north of the Rio Grande. Mexico said the land still belonged to it. The United States, however, said the land had become part of the state of Texas. The two countries were in conflict over which owned this small piece of land called El Chamizal. Neither side was willing to give up its claim to the land. So the conflict dragged on for almost 100 years. Finally, Mexico and the United States agreed to a compromise. In a compromise, each side in a conflict gives up some of what it wants in order to make an agreement. The United States agreed to give El Chamizal back to Mexico. In return, Mexico gave the United States some land on the north side of the original channel. Under the compromise, the river was moved back north. This meant that all the land south of the river would once again belong to Mexico. All the land north of the river would belong to the United States. To make sure that the river would not change course again, the new riverbed was lined with concrete. Review. What caused Mexico and the United States to disagree over their border? Cooperating in other ways. The conflict over the border was settled, but other problems remain. Every day, cities and industries dump millions of gallons of waste into the Rio Grande. Runoff from irrigation and rainwater carries chemicals used on nearby farms into the river. Runoff is surface water that does not soak into the ground. The waste and chemicals have made the Rio Grande one of North America's most polluted rivers. Pollution affects people living on both sides of the river. The United States and Mexico are working together to try to reduce the river's pollution. Both countries plan to build more wastewater treatment plants along the Rio Grande. Sharing the Rio Grande means that the United States and Mexico must cooperate in other ways. Increased trade between the two countries has caused rapid growth in the Rio Grande Valley. Both countries must cooperate as they plan for future growth. Review. What are the United States and Mexico doing about pollution in the Rio Grande? Lesson 4 review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. Why has too little water always been a problem in the upper Rio Grande Valley? 2. Recall the main idea. How has the Rio Grande caused the United States and Mexico both to work together and to disagree? Think critically. 3. Think more about it. When two countries share a river, why must they work together to protect it? Show what you know. Writing activity. Imagine that you are a newspaper reporter. You have been asked to describe how the United States and Mexico finally ended their border conflict over El Chamizal. In your report, tell how each side had to compromise to reach an agreement. Participation skills. Resolve conflict by compromise. 1. Why learn this skill? Most people work well together when they agree. Sometimes, however, people have different ideas about how things should be done. That can lead to conflict. There are many ways to resolve or settle conflict. For example, you can keep your opinions to yourself and walk away from the conflict. You can tell the other person what you think and try to get him or her to agree with you. You can also compromise. 2. Remember what you have read. Being able to compromise is important for countries too. The Rio Grande had been a natural boundary between the United States and Mexico for many years. But in the 1860s, the river's channel moved farther south because of flooding. Land that had been south of the river in Mexico was now north of the river in Texas. The two countries could not agree on which nation owned this land called El Chamizal. After nearly a century of conflict, Mexico and the United States agreed to a compromise. Think again about what happened. 1. What did each country do to make the compromise work? 2. What did the United States give up? What did Mexico give up? 3. What did the two countries do to make sure that a similar conflict would not happen in the future? 3. Understand the process. To resolve a conflict by compromise, you can follow the steps below. Identify what is causing the conflict. Tell the people on the other side what you want, then listen to what they want. Decide which things are most important to you. Present a plan for a compromise. Let the people on the other side present their plan. Talk about any differences in the two plans. Present a second plan for a compromise, giving up one of the things that is important to you. Ask the other side to do the same thing. Look for a way to let each side have most of what it wants. Keep talking until you agree. Plan your compromise so that it will work for a long time. 4. Think and apply. Suppose the school board wants students to wear uniforms. The students want to be able to choose what they wear. Work with a classmate. One of you should take the side of the school board and the other the side of the students. Use the steps in Understand the Process to work out a compromise to resolve the conflict. Compare your compromise with those of other students. Which ones do you think would work best? Why? Chapter 10 Review. Connect Main Ideas. Use this organizer to show what you have learned about the land, people, and history of the Southwest region. Complete it by writing a sentence or two to summarize the main idea of each lesson. A copy of the organizer appears on page 79 of the activity book. Write more about it. Write a diary entry. Imagine that you are traveling with the explorer Coronado in search of the seven cities of gold. Write a diary entry describing the climates and landforms you have seen on your trip. Write about conflict. Write a paragraph describing something that causes conflict in your community or state. Tell how people are trying to resolve that conflict through compromise. Use vocabulary. Use the terms from the list to complete the paragraphs that follow. Arid, conflict, mesas, missions, rain shadow, runoff. In the Southwest are landforms such as plains, mountains, and one. Many places in the Southwest are dry because they lie in the two of the mountains. In the Southwest, Catholic priests built settlements called three, where they taught the Indians about Christianity. Meeting water needs is still a challenge in the four, or dry, areas of the Southwest. A shortage of water sometimes leads to five, or disagreement among people. Six, from irrigation, can carry chemicals into rivers and pollute them. Check understanding. 7. How does the climate in the Southwest change from east to west? 8. Where are the lowest lands in the Southwest, the highest lands? 9. What caused desert areas to form in the Southwest? 10. What did Phoenix need in order to grow? Think critically. 11. Personally speaking, do you think the way one part of Oklahoma was opened up to new settlement was fair? Explain. 12. Think more about it. Why must the United States and Mexico work together to reduce pollution in the Rio Grande? Apply skills. Read a vertical timeline. Use the timeline on page 347 to answer these questions. 13. When did the Santa Fe Trail open? 14. How many years after the Mexican-American War ended did stagecoach service begin? Tell primary from secondary sources. Answer these questions. 15. Is a description of an event in a history book a primary or a secondary source? 16. Is a diary entry by someone who saw an event a primary or a secondary source? Resolve conflict by compromise. List the steps that you might follow to resolve by compromise a conflict you might have with a friend or family member. Read more about it. Storm on the Desert by Carolyn Lesser, Harcourt Brace. Readers learn what happens before, during, and after a storm in the desert. Visit the internet at http://www.hbschool.com for additional resources.